listener production.
On today's edition of Footy Talk, we are joined by Nick Riewoldt, and we take a look at the Carlton model, and is it sustainable in season 2024? We have our take on whether LDU should join the Saints, and Nick Riewoldt has his say on a draw and whether we should play extra time or keep it as is. That's all to come up next on Footy Talk. You are listening to Footy Talk. It's your place for the latest news, interviews and analysis from the world of AFL, and joining us every Tuesday as he does and tries to set the agenda and we analyse the big topics. It's Nick Riewoldt, my good big mate over there in Texas. Hello, Roo. How's the week going?
Yeah, good. Well, it's Monday.
That's true.
We're off to a flyer over here, Joey. But all good. Another big week of footy. What do you got? What's your thought of the week? I love this. You always come up with the left field ones, you know, very creative you are.
Yeah, no, I just like thinking. I always think about footy. I'm in the shower, I'm thinking about footy, and then I'm laying in bed and I'm thinking about footy, Roo. So I was just thinking
Erin
about...
Erin will be wrapped.
Tell me about it. She's watching Netflix in the other room. Hey, so my thought of the week, Roo, I was looking at the games coming up this week, and there's a couple of beauties. Geelong taking on Melbourne, GWS Giants taking on the Sydney Swans. At the moment, everyone's got the Giants and the Cats as the premiership favourites. And I just took a bit of a look, and it's interesting when you look at who the teams have played, because yes, Geelong had a great win against Carlton and it was a terrific game and two teams that we do expect to be there when the whips are cracking at the end of the year. But when you do look at Geelong's game so far, Rui, that was the only team they've played in the top eight, because their other wins have been against teams like St Kilda, Adelaide, Hawthorn, North Melbourne, the Western Bulldogs and Brisbane in the wet. So I just wonder, how true of a reflection is Geelong being an undefeated 7-0 best team in the competition at the moment? Because their tests will come. They've got some tough games coming up. And it's a bit the same with the GWS Giants. So they have only played Carlton as well in the top eight. And guess what? They got beaten by Carlton. And the Giants' other wins have been against Brisbane, St Kilda, Gold Coast, West Coast, North Melbourne. And of course, they beat Collingwood, who were underdone in that opening round game up at the Sydney Showground. So it's just interesting when you take a look at these teams at the top. It's surprising how little they have played against each other. And there's a few of them coming up. So Geelong have got Melbourne and Port Adelaide coming up, and there's some tough games. And then when you flip down to some of the sides that we've all thought would be better than they are and how much they're struggling. For example, the Brisbane Lions, you go, gee, 2-5, how disappointing. But then when you look at it, they've played the Giants, they've played Geelong, they've played Melbourne, they've played Fremantle, they've played Carlton. They've played five teams that have already established themselves in the top eight. And even when you look just quickly at our boys, St Kilda, and we thought, you know, that they'd be better. To be fair, they've played Port Adelaide away, they've played the Giants away, they've played Essendon, who we know now are a legitimate team, and they've played Geelong away. So sometimes you've got to sort of look a little bit deeper at the ladder. But anyway, it's just interesting. It'll be great to see where the Cats are at.
For those top teams, it's not, you can only beat who you play.
That's right.
We know that. But it's okay, let's just see, you know, next 5 to 6 weeks, water will find its own level. And who knows, they might keep running the table because they are in red hot form, particularly the Catters. Mine's a really simple one this week, Joey. And I know you're really big on this, the senior players remaining in the game and remaining at clubs because of the value that they provide. And it was just awesome on the weekend, I thought. A team that was under the pump massively in the Fremantle Dockers, for their man Nat Fyfe to come out and do what he did and just provide a little reminder of what senior players are capable of when you really absolutely need them. And that's the value of keeping them around and keeping them on your list, because when you need them, the experienced ones, the champions, they step up. And Nat Fyfe did it again and just reminded us all what a star he is.
Great minds think alike, Roo. That was going to be my other thought of the week I was coming in with, was these veterans that we write off too quickly, and then you realise when they are fully fit what they are capable of. So you've got Fyfe, but I could put Elliot Yeo in the same basket, what he's doing at West Coast. Charlie Dixon and the impact that he's having at Port Adelaide. Even Danger. Like, everyone wrote off Geelong this year because Danger's old. Now, I know he did his hammy, but up until that point, he looked like Dangerfield of 2017. He was breaking tackles and putting
It's not just when they're fully fit, but give them a matchup that suits them. So all of a sudden, you know, Charlie Dixon might get the second best defender. He might get the third best defender. And that five might run through the middle. He might be playing on a 19-year-old body or a 20-year-old. I mean, he did the week before and Harley Reid pancaked him. So it's not always going to work in your favour. But just a good reminder, the value of senior players, of experienced players and champions when you need them most.
Yeah, and don't write them off in the media too. Just wait and you know they've still got plenty to offer.
You mentioned some of the top teams just before, Joey. So you mentioned Geelong and you mentioned the Giants. And I think the question marks about them are more regarding the opponents that they've played. Where are Carlton at? Because, I mean, their very best this year has been amazing. They've looked a little bit wobbly a couple of times. I thought Vossi's commentary after the game last week was great from a coach. He was, you know, he was very critical. We don't stand for that. It was good leadership. Where do you see them sitting right now?
No, I'm still really bullish on Carlton, really. I think that they are absolutely in this season up to their eyeballs, if not, you know, premiership favourites, equal favourites. I know there's been a bit of talk about their defence the last few weeks, and yes, it has been slightly off, but we have seen this Carlton team under Vossi be elite defensively. Last year, I think they were top four in the competition. Yep. They started the year really well. And it's funny, everyone's talked about this week's game against Geelong and looked at Carlton's defence and how it broke down. And you go, hang on a minute, Geelong also conceded 105 points against Carlton, but nobody's talked about Geelong's defence because they won the game. So it's just interesting when you look at it. I mean, the last 3 weeks, yes, the numbers don't jump off the page about Carlton's defence, but including that, they played the Giants, who are the number one offensive team in the competition, and they beat them, even though they conceded 98 points. And they're missing three of their best six defenders, which I know, and you understand, and we saw it with Geelong last year. If you don't have continuity with your back six, it makes it awfully difficult. And when they get Marchbank and McGovern and Saad back in there, instead of some of the other players that are playing at the moment, they've got, you know, Lockie Young and Kemp and Cowan and some other guys doing great jobs. But when you get your best back there, I think we'll see a different looking Carlton defence. They've improved their turnover game, which is a huge issue for them last year that is significant in modern footy. Their clearance game's still elite. We know about the firepower in their forward half. I'm not jumping off the Blues at all, really. I think that even though they lost 66 entries against Geelong, you give me that 9 times out of 10, give me that in a prelim, and I'll take Carlton to beat Geelong in a prelim. So I thought that was a terrific performance.
Very good. Hey, the other big talking point at the moment is around free agency. We know it's a bumper crop happening this year. A lot of big names out there. One that's being floated around, I think probably because of the lack of success that he's experienced throughout his career so far at North Melbourne, is LDU from the Kangas, and linked with the Saners, Joey.
Yes,
what do you make of that one?
Our man Jay-Z been very strong on it. So Luke Davies-Uniacke not out of contract till the end of next year. And he thinks that St Kilda are in it up to their eyeballs to make a massive offer to try and get Luke Davies-Uniacke. I think for me, it's a no-brainer, Rui. I said on first crack on Sunday night, St Kilda at the moment, they take a knife into a gunfight into the midfield battle nearly every single week. When you look at what they've got, I had a look at the numbers. Besides Jack Steele, every other midfielder at the moment, and some of them are young, to be fair, but they're either average, below average, or poor as a rating for a midfielder. Windhager and Seb Ross and Philippo's just not quite getting it done in there, and they've thrown Garcia. And on the weekend, Ross Lyon had 11 different players go through the midfield for St Kilda up against that Port Adelaide midfield. It was always going to be a tough ask. So I think no doubt they need firepower in there, and you've got to do it multiple ways. We know the draft, just going to the draft is not going to work. You need to get free agents in. Look at what it's done for Essendon by getting some free agents into that football club around some of the young talent. I think he'd be a great fit. And I don't get hung up about the money anymore, really. I think the money's a little bit overrated because salary caps now, and as they continue to expand and players sign long-term contracts, you can always make the money work. You can shuffle it around, front-end it, back-end it, ask a player to take some more at the start, less at the end. I think you make it work. So for me, it's a no-brainer. I think he's a very, very good footballer. We'd be even better in a good team. What about you?
I think it's the next part of the list rebuild, if you like. When you look at the peripheral pieces, they've gone and got players like Henry, you know, runners on the outside like Wilson through the draft and Filippo, and boys are going to be able to run all day. What they don't have through that middle part of the ground is that sort of ball-winning burst player that Davies-Uniacke can be. So I think that's a bit of the missing link. You know, link. They're kind of pedestrian through the middle. They've got great warriors in there. I mean, Jack Steele and guys that'll put their head over the footy all day and win it, but no one with that real, you know, line-breaking X factor that I think he could provide. So, yep, agree. Go out and get him if you can. Another great midfielder over the well, over the last decade and a bit really has been Rory Sloane hanging up the boots, Joey.
Yeah, he had two detached retinas and basically spoke about wanting to be able to see for the rest of his life instead of playing football, which is more than a fair enough reason to retire. I watched his announcement online and it gave me little tingles. Going back to the moment where you actually have to say the words out loud, telling the group, I'm retiring. It's the hardest thing to do. Rory had a tough time doing it, but gee, what a player he was. I saw a stat last night. Between 2012 and 2017, really, he was rated the seventh best player in the game for that five-year period. And we're talking behind Dangerfield, Pendlebury, Selwood, Gary Ablett Jr. Like, he was right up there. And more importantly, one of the best blokes that we played against in our time. Absolute ripping fella. And he was a St Kilda supporter. How many times, every time we saw him, he used to tell us that he grew up breaking for the Saints.
To me, he had real Lenny Hayes vibes about him. You know, like he sort of played that way. He put his head over it. He was courageous. He was graceful as well. And just someone that everyone loved. So for me, the sort of Lenny Hayes, Rory Sloane comparison is probably, that's about as big a compliment as you could get paid, I think. You know,
yeah, that's
how
right.
Highly we are. We think of Lenny. So, and international rules, they were the moments where you got to spend a bit of time with those guys and he was an absolute ripper, Rory. So well done on a fantastic career.
Yeah, he was certainly. Hey, while we're talking about Adelaide, they've got a massive showdown against Port Adelaide. Just quickly, they're going to be missing three of their stars. We know Powell Pepper, unfortunately, out for the year with an ACL. Alir's going to miss through concussion. And Connor Rosie. Does that test out Port Adelaide for the next few weeks, missing some of their like three key players? Or do you think they've got enough depth and they're good enough? Because Jeremy Finlayson will come back from that suspension for the slur. He'll be back into the side. But are you concerned about Port Adelaide or you still think they can cover?
Look, I think if you're going to have a successful campaign, you're going to need your depth players to play roles at various stages of the year. So I don't think it's – like you never want your guns to get injured, obviously. But I think for where they're at right now, it's probably not the worst thing to expose some of their sort of 23, 24, 25 on the list to some really high-intensity footy. And you learn a little bit about them as you go through, which age you come finals time. So, look, I still expect Port Adelaide to be really hard to beat. I mean, with that midfield – They're so solid behind the footy. I think they should be able to sort of hang in there at least for the next few weeks until the troops come back.
Yeah, no, I think that they'll continue to win plenty of games of footy. They've got a bit of a tough run as well after this. Hey, we will take a break. I want to get into real talk, shit talk, and just maybe have a look at a couple of the games coming up. But if you are listening to Footy Talk and you do have a question for us, make sure you jump on Instagram or on TikTok and hit us up. You are listening to Footy Talk. If you're listening on Spotify, please hit the bell to be notified when we drop a new episode. I'm here with Nick Riewoldt. We like to play a bit of real talk, shit talk, some of the comments and storylines going around the world of AFL and whether we agree or disagree with it. The first one I'm firing at you, Rui, and this is, I think, relevant for you, that the Kangaroos should consider making Sheasel the captain from next year. Real talk or shit talk?
I'm going to say real talk with a caveat, and that's, you know, how does he model the behaviours behind closed doors? I mean, I think there's a lot more to it than just making your best player captain. I mean, they've got to be, I think, a leader in terms of the way they command the group. They've got to be a leader in the way they prepare Monday to Friday. But assuming he ticks those boxes, then, yeah, I don't have a problem with making a 20-year-old captain. I think you could lighten the load for him a little bit early with perhaps a Nick Larkey if he's in the same boat. But, yeah, absolutely. Put him in there. Give him the reins.
How old were you when you were first captain? How did you find it in your first year at such a young age? What were you, 20?
21.
21. And how did you find it in your first year at 21?
Yeah, great, because guess what? There are a lot of senior players around to provide the support. Robert Harvey, Aaron Hamill, Fraser Gehrig, Andrew Thompson, those sort of guys on the list. And I mean, you don't become, the solo beacon for leadership. It doesn't work like that. You're still part of a group or a weight of numbers that are leading, week after week. So, look, I think it'd be a good change, providing he ticks those other boxes that we mentioned. One for you, Joey. The Swans forward line, there were question marks about how they'd go without Buddy. but they are the real deal, the Swans forward line.
Oh, this is going to be a tough one. I'm going to say shit talk still for now, Rui, because
what?
As we touched on earlier with the playing against the top teams, Sydney haven't played that many top teams as of yet. They played Melbourne in round one, which was a really good win. But since then, you look at their last four games, Rui, they've beaten up on Hawthorn, Gold Coast at home, West Coast, Richmond and Essendon at home. Gee, I just want to see it judge. Against the Bears. I want to see Logan McDonald and Joel Amati and Hayden McLean do it this week against Jack Buckley and Sam Taylor and Harry Himmelberg. If they can kick 100 points against the Giants this week, I'll change my tune. I just want to see it against the very best. I'm just going to hold fire and say
tough talk for now. Geelong are no good. They haven't played anyone. The Giants are no good. They haven't played anyone. The Swans forward line's no good.
Well, it's pretty boring if we think we all know it. We know it all now.
Hard to please.
Hey, one more for you. Topical for us. I'll give you a little take on this after. But after the draw, Collingwood, Essendon. Draw, they interview Scott Pennery. Pendles, what do you think? You know what he said? Extra time. I don't know if he was saying that. He wasn't saying that in 2010, was he? But what do you think? Is it time now?
I'll tell you, Nick Maxwell was, though. When we went into the middle of the ground and we were with Andrew Demetrio, he had the big Cheshire cat grin because he knew it was an extra $20 million into the coffers of the AFL. Nick Maxwell was going absolutely ballistic. He's like, this is bullshit. Yeah. We're going to play extra time. I was like, yeah, well, I thought, like, we got some momentum here. Let's do it. But
should we do it home and away?
I think it's time. Oh, I do. Oh, like, if you're a fan of the game, what's more exciting? Walking away like this? Oh, well, that was, you know.
And
that
was flat. It was flat. Like, no song, flat. No anything. Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon it's time. Well, why not? Like,
because it's history. Well, they say because it's history.
Yeah, but so what?
Yeah,
we're the only competition in the world that has extra time for finals and then in regular season, it's a draw. So, no, I think it's time. Give the fans what they want, and I think it's more exciting. How good would extra time be? 5 minutes each way?
Everyone would be buzzing, yeah.
It'd be awesome. Be great TV. The networks would love it. They'd get a little bit more airtime. So, yep, I'm ready to change it. Last one, Joey. We might have said this last year, actually, as well. Jeremy Cameron is the number one player in the competition.
Right now?
Yeah, right now.
No, I'm going to still say shit talk again. You've been a bit...
Yeah.
I think Isaac Heaney, you can't go past what he is doing this year. It is off the charts, the year that Isaac Heaney is having. I saw, again, another stat about the coaches' votes after round seven. I think might have only been Nat Fyfe in his Brownlow year has polled more votes for the Coaches Association after 7 weeks than what Isaac Heaney is doing. It's ridiculous. And I didn't think I'd ever say that about Isaac Heaney. He's been a bit of a frustration of mine because he's always been a player that's come in and out of form and never strung it together consistently. But
I said this a month ago, Joey. Put him in the midfield and this is what happens.
Right. And now he's kicking more goals playing in the midfield than he was playing as a forward. Kicked another three on the weekend.
Because you don't get someone sitting on you every week. You can just drift in there. It's perfect.
You forwards think it's so easy in the midfield. It's where games are won and lost in the midfield. Hey, that's all we've got time for. Thank you for your time. Rui, of course, make sure you jump on Instagram if you want to get involved at footytalk_pod. Tomorrow, we have a couple of the best-looking hosts in the business, Abby Holmes and David Zaharakis, along with Jack Heverin, as they take a look from a player's point of view. Until then, enjoy your Tuesday. Listener.